Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me. What's going on, everyone? And welcome to another edition of Questions and Answers. I'm your host, T. Wash. I'm going to need you guys to bear with me today. I'm doing the show. I'm sick. But, you know, the show must go on. I got things I want to talk about. So I want to still do the show today, even though I'm not at 100%. So I don't know. Sometimes you might hear me blowing my nose. You might hear me coughing. But, hey, like I said, the show must go on. And guys, if you want to call in and talk about these topics I'm about to talk about, or if you got some topics you want to throw out, you know, regardless of what it is, you know, as it pertains to sports and entertainment, then you're welcome to do something. And my call-in number is 1-347-843-4939. I want to start off the show by doing a sports history fact that I always do, and it goes, on this day, June 22nd, 1937, Joe Louis KOs James Braddock in 18 rounds for his first heavyweight boxing title. This was one of the most significant moments in African-American sporting history because Joe Louis, well, since my main boxer, my favorite boxer of all time, Jack Johnson, who was the first black heavyweight, Joe Louis was kind of the, you know, the black heavyweight everybody like looked up to. And, you know, they made a big deal when Joe Louis won it. You know, it really wasn't that big of a deal when Jack Johnson won it, because he won it in the 1900s, the early 1900s. So really much wasn't much of a big deal. It became more of a prominent moment when Joe Louis won the title, you know, for black America. Like I said, guys, I'm sick. Pardon me. I might sound kind of funny and funky, but I'm here, and I want to talk to you guys. Today's show, I'm going to be recapping the NBA draft. Who do you think won the draft, in your opinion? Which rookie will still be the steal of the NFL draft? I got something to say about that. And then also right now, currently, there's a rap battle going on with two NBA players, my main man Damian Dame Dollar Lillard and Marvin MB35 Bagley the third, the second year player for the Sacramento Kings. Hey, they got a nice little rap battle going on. You know, hopefully it'll stay that way. And these two guys are millionaires and they play a damn sport, so there's no reason to take it to the streets or anything like that. Just put it on wax, see who people decide who won, and go, you know, go with that. Like I said, Dame Dollar, he's my favorite, man. He's my favorite, one of my favorite players. And in my opinion, he's the best athlete rapper in the game right now. But I got to give some props to Marvin Bagley III, MB35. He has skills, too. And I didn't even know he could rap until I was watching First Take the other morning. And Max Kellerman brought it up to Stephen A. Smith that he had bars. And then Max Kellerman put it out there, like, how would you feel about challenging, you know, Damian Lillard? Because Damian Lillard, you know, he has the bars. You know, he's probably the best athlete rapper in the game right now. And Marvin Bagley was like, it's whatever, you know. So he basically called out Dame. And then that's when it got started, man. Damian Lillard dropped the diss track first. Then Marvin Bagley came back. Then Dame Dollar came back with another one. And then Marvin Bagley came back with another one. So I'm wondering, is this going to be a summer thing? Are we going to get a rap battle with these two NBA stars the rest of the summer? I don't know. And I'm curious to find out. Guys, if you want to call in and talk about any of these things, you want to talk about the NBA draft, what you think, who you think won the draft, which rookie would be the steal of the draft, you want to talk about this rap battle between Damian Lillard and Marvin Bagley III, or, like I said, if you want to call and talk about any other subject in regards to sports or entertainment, then hit me up 1-347-843-4939. All right, so I'm gonna start off by saying, in my opinion, the draft winner was New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, because they drafted all players needed to better their team. I mean, Zion Williamson, we already know about him. I mean, this guy, in my opinion, he's a Charles Barkley clone, but a little more athletic with a high motor. I mean, he could drive, he could slash, he could score with the best of them. And then when he's the biggest player that's coming into the NBA, so he's going to be the biggest player in the NBA right now as soon as he hit the floor. So he should have no problem scoring in the paint and using all the athleticism that he has. The issue I got with Zion is his jump shot. He has a set shot. He doesn't have a jump shot. He barely gets off the ground when he shoots a shot. So it's almost like a line drive. And if he could change his jump shot, man, he start jumping and shooting. He developed like a mid-range game. Man, Zion might be the most unstoppable force in the NBA, man. Because, like I said, he plays above the rim, has a high motor, he rebounds, he's a good passer for his size. He can handle the ball a little bit, too. So he has a good all-around game. He plays defense also. He just needs to develop a jump shot. And, guys, once again, I apologize for how I sound, but I'm battling the cold right now, so I might sound a little jacked up. But, yeah. If Zion develop all that, man, then Zion's going to be a monster. And, you know, that's all it takes, man, is practice. I'm curious to see how Summer League is going to be for him the next couple of weeks when he plays in the Summer League, see how he does, see if they, if the Pelicans, Alvin Gentry and the staff work with him with his jump shot. Because that line drive stuff, it's really not going to work in the NBA, man. He needs to have some kind of arc on his shot. I mean, even – you know, guys like Sean Marion, he had one of the ugliest jump shots, but he had arc on it, and he jumped when he shot. It was just a set shot line drive. So if Zion can fix that, man, the sky's the limit.
Questions and answers, baby.
Hey, what's going
on? What's going on?
It's Gary.
Not much. How you doing?
Not much. I'm chilling, man. But, yeah, you made me laugh talking about ugly jumpers. Man, be thinking like Wayne Turner in college.
Strangely enough, even Wayne Turner had a kind of an arc to his shot.
Yeah, man. M.O. was horrible. And your boy Lonzo, he got an ugly one too.
Yeah, he does, man. But the thing is crazy is they got arches to their shot. Like, unlike Zion, Zion's is just a straight line drive.
Yeah, but he'd be hitting that drive, though.
Yeah, I know he does. But, you know, if he could work on that, man, and have a better jump shot, man, then he's going to be unstoppable. But everything else is in place.
Hey, I got a question got a question for you about Zion. What's the do you think he's going to stay in New Orleans in the long run? What's the max years for a rookie contract? Is it 2 years or just depends? Because I don't remember.
It's usually like, since he's a number one draft pick, it's probably going to be four. It's about four.
Okay.
He probably have a team option for the fifth. So,
okay,
you know, he don't have to take the fifth. But, yeah, with him being the number one pick and the lottery pick, their own contracts are usually like a four-year deal. So he probably going to have like a four-year with an option.
There.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, you know, it depends on how they're looking, how they're winning.
New Orleans is not a big market, and you can't help who you get drafted to.
Yeah, that's
true. I think he's gonna be pretty good. I think they got a decent team this year, young team. I wanted to ask you about the Lakers, man, because that's the biggest news still. Who they gonna bring in? Because they got a little bit of money to work with. I think the latest talk was D'Angelo Russell coming in and trying to get another shooter or something. What you think about D'Lo back there, especially with all that controversy he had at first?
I don't think it'll make sense to bring D'Angelo Russell back. I mean, you got him out of there. You should have, if you if you really wanted to keep him, they should have kept him there regardless of what went on with him and Swaggy P, because Swaggy P was on his way out the door anyway. I think if they wanted to keep D'Angelo, they should have kept him.
But you know what, though? He wasn't balling like he was, you know, in Brooklyn now. It's like he wasn't the same player. I mean, we knew he was good coming out of Ohio State, but he's, like, to me, a total different player.
He really didn't have much of a chance. I believe he really didn't have much of a chance because he wasn't there long enough. He was only there for, like, what, his rookie year and half of the next season before they got rid of him. So he wasn't there long enough to really show and prove the way he could have. And I just believe that if they wanted to keep D'Angelo, they should have just kept him there. It's like, why bring him back? I'd rather them make a push at bringing Kyrie back with LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, since you brought that up, I mean, he wanted to be a leader on his own team and have things his way. Then he found out it's not all gravy. So, you know, if he stayed in Cleveland, then, you know, LeBron stays there, and they win another chip or two. So you just never know. I thought he should have stayed, but, you know, things not working out for him. And now I think Brooklyn – oh, go ahead.
They saying that Brooklyn might not want to sign Kyrie because Durant not going to be there. They saying they want to make sure Durant's there with him. Because they see what happened in Boston.
Latest.
Kyrie is the number two. Kyrie is the number two. He's not an alpha. He needs an alpha to play with him because he's not a leader of men. I don't see that in Kyrie because he has a perfect situation
scenario.
In Boston.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. We just knew coming into the season that Boston was going to make the finals because, well, shit, they got Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back. They was a game away from the finals without him. Not with them back. Oh, they going to the finals. That we all presume. But Kyrie, I mean, he, you know, blasting the young players in public. Only one he got along with was Jason Tatum. He didn't get along with the other young guys. And it's like, dude, you got to be a leader, man. And it's like he couldn't lead. And that's why them young boys played better without Kyrie. And that's why I believe Kyrie, I think it's a good chance if Brooklyn don't take him, if Kevin Durant decides to stay at Golden State and Brooklyn don't take Kyrie, I can see Kyrie joining LeBron and Anthony Davis in L.A., which would be a good thing, and it would make them definitely the favorites to win it all. But I'm curious to see what the Lakers are built around them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to – let's keep it in Boston for a minute because your boy got drafted by him. Congratulations, Carson Edwards. Had one of the best turning runs in recent memories. So congrats to him.
Yes, sir. And, congrats to my man Carson Edwards, boiler up Purdue. Yeah, I feel good about that. But I'm wondering how is him and Romeo, how they going to fit in the mix? Because I don't see them.
If I
was Boston, I wouldn't get rid of Jaylen Brown. And I wouldn't, you know, and Jason Tatum, he's the star. Jaylen Brown's my number two. Only thing I can think of, man, with them playing in the East, only thing I can think of with them playing in the East, Gary, is they can move Tatum to the four, move Jaylen to the three, go Romeo at the two, and then at the one, I'll re-sign Terry Rozier and let him run the point and have Carson coming off the bench, giving them firepower up the bench.
They definitely got some options. Last thing I wanted to mention before I get out of here is I'm a Midwest guy, so I follow some teams in the Midwest, whatever. But who is the guy, and why are the Pacers so high on that guy from overseas, man? Like, what's going on? Do you think he was taken too high, or what do you think about that? And then I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, G. All right. Yeah. Man, honestly, I don't know anything about the guy. I don't know who he is. I don't know what kind of draft grade he got. Right now I'm looking at this, the grades, and right now the Pacers, that's his name, Goga Bitsy out of Georgia, the Republic of Georgia, 6'11", 245. And basically CBS gave him a B+. They gave the Pacers a B+ for this pick. I have no idea about him. I haven't looked at him on YouTube or anything, but I guess I need to. But It says that the Pacers offloaded all their second round picks on Thursday, you know, and they basically just kept him, number 18. And they saying he's an offensive assassin from overseas, who was simply too much value to pass on. So they making it seem like he's some kind of godsend or something for the Pacers. You know, honestly, I want the Pacers to get somebody like, you know, a Bol Bol or somebody like that, but you know, or Rai Hachimura, but he ended up going number 9. I think those guys would have fit well for the Pacers. So I don't know. I really can't knock this guy because I don't know anything about him. But they gave the Pacers a B+, and they saying that he's an offensive assassin. And it says he could be a franchise center. And Indiana got him at a discounted rate. So I guess we have to see for ourselves how he turned out. I mean, I can't tell you much, man. Do what I do. Look him up on YouTube, and we'll see how he, you know, how he do and how he go on this season, you know, when the season starts. Matter of fact, let's watch him in Summer League. I'm going to make sure I check him out in Summer League. That's going to be, you know, happening in the next few weeks. So that's when we'll be able to see how good he really is. But they making it seem like, you know, he's probably the best center in this draft. That's what I'm taking from what I'm reading. But, you know, back to my, you know, who I said, I believe the Pelicans won the draft. I think the Pelicans won because, like I said, they got Zion, number one pick. You know, he's coming in with the most hype, so he's going to have a lot to live up to with Anthony Davis being going to the Lakers now. The franchise is literally being handed to an 18-year-old kid. So, 18, 19, I don't know if I'm off or not, but, yeah, franchise is literally being handed to him, so he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to, like, be flashy and show and prove, and hopefully he won't run into no rookie wall. But the good thing is like I said, I believe with him playing with Lonzo Ball, that's going to help him out a lot, especially if Lonzo can be the Lonzo he was when he's at UCLA. Just, you know, just play freely, no pressure of his dad being all down his neck and being all in the news and distracting him and him being away from L.A., not the pressure of being a hometown kid that got to take the Lakers to the next level. He don't have to worry about that no more. You know what I mean? So he could play his game, man. He could pass the ball. We know he's a great passer. We know he plays great defense. The Pelicans may have the best defensive court in the NBA. If Lonzo could be right, him and my man Drew Holiday, but I like to call him J-Rue because I spell J-R-U-E. But Lonzo and J-Rue, man, playing in that backcourt, that's probably going to be the best defensive backcourt in the NBA. Both of them were two, you know, of the top players in steals when they play. So they're going to have one of the best defensive backcourts. Then, you know, at the three, they have Brandon Ingram, you know, who they, I don't know why they're comparing to my man Kevin Durant, but they do, I guess because they both long and slender and can kind of handle the ball and kind, you know, Brandon Ingram kind of got a shot. We know KD got a shot. You know, Brandon Ingram kind of got a shot. You know, he's okay. He's okay, but no comparison to Kevin Durant. And I think he'll be a good, you know, fit for the Pelicans too. And then on top of that, Lonzo, Josh Hart, and Brandon Ingram all know each other. They all played with each other. So they know each other's strengths and weaknesses. So all that's going to help those three definitely. And then they just got to incorporate the young fella in. You know, incorporate Zion in. And then I like the other draft picks. You know, the Pelicans got draft picks that's going to help their team. And on top of that, they got the Hawks 2020 draft pick. And the Hawks made some moves, but I don't see them, you know, being in the playoff hunt, which means the Pelicans are going to probably get a decent draft picks next year. So the Pelicans made out good with this Anthony Davis deal to the Lakers. I don't I don't think the Pelicans are going to be, you know, in a playoff hunt, not in the West. The West is too deep. But I do think they're going to challenge, and I think that they may be fighting for a playoff spot till they get to these last few months of the season. Then that's when they'll tally off and, you know, be out of the playoff race completely. But I do think that they're going to, you know, they're going to challenge teams, man, because I like the young talent that they're putting together, and Alvin Gentry is not a bad coach, you know. They, like I said, they drafted the Texas big man at number 8, Jackson Hayes. He's athletic. He He can block shots. He protects the rim. He can rebound. I mean, that's something that they need. They're going to need a center unless they plan on starting Jahlil Okafor out of Duke from Chicago, who's been kind of a bust. Unless they start him and he could give them something, then the Jackson Hayes kid could come off the bench. But who knows? Maybe in training camp, this Jackson Hayes kid, I mean, he's kind of skinny too. But, I mean, hell, the traditional big man game is gone from the NBA now. A lot of these centers can shoot threes. And then half the time, all these teams are switching to, like, smaller lineups. You got the power forward playing center spots now because of these lineups. So even though Jackson Hayes is kind of skinny, you know, he has more upside than Jahlil Okafor. Jahlil Okafor is kind of a plotter. You know, he's kind of built like a traditional big man. You know, he plays inside. You know, he's not really much. He's like a finesse big man. He, you know, he might grab you a couple rebounds, but he's not, you know, one of them big, tough, physical big men, you know, like back in our day with Patrick Ewing and Elijah Wines and Dave Robinson. He's nothing like the Shaqs. He's nothing like that. So who knows? Maybe this Jackson Hayes kid can steal the show in summer league, steal the show in training camp, and then he'll be the starter to go along with Lonzo, Zion, J.Rue, and Brandon Ingram. And then off the bench, you got my man, Lil E. Chicago, Lil E.C., Etuan Moore coming off the bench still. I mean, dude, that's good stuff right there. So I'm loving what the Pelicans are doing. I say the Pelicans won the draft, in my opinion. But just some other stuff that's going on in the draft, that happened with the draft. The Atlanta Hawks. I have no idea what. The Atlanta Hawks, they picked up DeAndre Hunter at number 4. Then at number 10, they picked up Cam Reddish from Duke. He's pretty good. He's a good shooter. He played alongside Zion Williamson, and he played alongside RJ Barrett. Then at number 34, they took Bruno Fernando. He's a pretty good center out of the Big Ten. Played big man ball, block shots, good dunk, physical presence in the inside. So the Hawks have got some good picks. I don't think it'd be enough to, like, have them push for the playoffs. Not yet, because they're still young and they still got some work to do. But they, the Hawks, they made all this. They made the trade to the Pelicans and basically gave up a lot so they can move up to 4 to get DeAndre Hunter. And like I said, they gave up their their 2020 draft pick to the Pelicans too. So they gave up quite a bit to get DeAndre Hunter. So they really have faith in DeAndre Hunter that he could be their small forward, power forward of the future to go along with Trae Young. So they want to build it around Trae Young. He had a pretty good rookie year. And he almost beat out my guy, Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic was a good rookie. And if he wouldn't have won Rookie of the Year, man, it would have been a total joke. Because Luka, I mean, that kid, he's ridiculous. He played so good. Dennis Smith Jr. was basically, you know, he's basically trade bait. They traded Dennis Smith Jr. and DeAndre Jordan to Dallas for Kristaps. But Luka Doncic played so good at the point guard spot, he was expendable. And Luka Doncic is 6'8", running the point, making all kinds of crazy shots. Game be on the line, they putting the ball in Luka Doncic's hands. So, you know, you want guys like that. So I'm curious to see how Dallas is going to be next season also. But, guys, like I said, bear with me today. I'm doing this sick. I probably don't sound right. You might hear me coughing and all that nasty stuff. But, hey, I don't care. I wanted to do the show today because I wanted to talk about this NBA draft. And like I said, I want to know from you guys, who won the draft in your opinion? Which rookie would be the steal of the draft? Then, like I said, It's also an NBA rap battle going on right now between my man Damian Lillard and Marvin Bagley III. And as always, you know, you guys are welcome to call in. And it doesn't just have to be the topics I'm throwing out here. You know, if you want to talk about anything related to sports entertainment, give me a call. 1-347-843-4939. Call if you want to talk about anything, you know, as long as it pertains to sports or entertainment. The Celtics, you know, me and Gary just talked about them. Celtics had a pretty decent draft. Now, this kid, Romeo Langford, you know, he's disappointing. I watched him in high school. He played for New Albany in New Albany, Indiana. And I saw like five of his games in high school, and the kid was a monster, man. He's like 6'5", 6'6", could shoot, played smooth. His game was just smooth, man. His game kind of reminded me of a Ray Allen. He played smooth. He could shoot the ball. He can go to, you know, go to the basket. He can handle the ball. He's like 80-90% free throw shooter. He didn't play a lick of defense, though. You know, he didn't play, you know, he wasn't like, it was all offense with him. And then once he took his game to the Big Ten at Indiana University, Big Ten is a physical conference, man, where you have to be able to take shots. You have to be able to play through bumps, all that stuff. And I could tell that he wasn't used to the physical contact and physical play, you know, that Big Ten has, you know, because he would get bumped, man. He would just, like, go flying. He'd go in, get bumped. He'd miss the shot. You know, he couldn't, like, fight through it and score even though he got bumped. Or it seemed like people were taking him out of the game easily. And he led the team in scoring. He averaged about 17 a game, so he led the team in scoring. That's a good thing. But he didn't have no dominant college games where you could be like, damn, Romeo was the man. Romeo was balling that game. He didn't have any games like that at IU. And that's what I really wanted to see. And so his stock dropped because if the kids would have been allowed to come out of high school and go straight to the pros, he would have been a top three pick. That's how highly he was. He was the third-ranked player in the country behind Zion and R.J. Barrett coming out of high school. So he would have been a top three pick. But he ended up dropping to the Celtics at 14. And, you know, they have some rebuilding they got to do because they're going to lose Kyrie Irving to the Brooklyn Nets, or I'm going to say the Lakers, because if Durant decided to stay in Oakland, you know, with the Warriors – then I don't see the Nets picking up Kyrie Irving without Alpha to go with him. So Celtics losing him. Just found out they're going to lose Al Horford too. So they have some rebuilding to do. At 14, they drafted Romeo. You know, I just gave you a little synopsis about him. Then at 22, they drafted Grant Williams, power forward out of Duke. He's 6'7". But he played like a power forward. He's not really a size of a power forward, but he played like it. So, and he's a banger, man. He grabbed rebounds. You know, he can score inside. Pretty decent free throw shooter. You know, he does intangible. So I think he'd be a good pickup for him. I think he could grab some boards and stuff because they're going to need somebody like that at that four spot with Al Horford leaving. You know, they say Al Horford's going to leave and he's probably not going to resign with the Celtics because he opted out of his contract. He didn't take the option. So Grant Williams would probably be a good fit for them. Then at 33, you got my boy via Philly, because the Philadelphia 76ers drafted him, actually. And they traded his rights to Boston. And that's my man Carson Edwards out of Purdue. Watch the tournament. All you had to do was watch the NCAA tournament to know who that man was. He was the best player in the tournament. Guy putting up like 40 a night. And there was one fluke. Lucky buzzer beater jump shot away from going to the Final Four this year. But, you know, they lost. They lost in the Elite Eight, man. They had a chance to go. I was hurt. But my man Carson, he was balling. And I'm happy that he got drafted. And I think he has a chance, even though he's a second rounder, because most second rounders, you know, you have to make the squad. It's not a guaranteed contract, not a guaranteed money. They have to make the squad. And I believe Carson Edwards has the skills to be able to make the Celtics. And Brad Stevens is the coach. He's an Indiana guy. He's the coach at Butler, so he probably know these kids. You know, he know Romeo. He know Carson. So I think Carson's going to have a good shot to stick with them, get him a scoring punch off the bench. The thing that's going to hurt Carson, he's only like 6 feet. He's like 199, 200 pounds. So, you know, he's small, but he can give you buckets, like I said. And I believe that he can score in the NBA. I believe he'll get his shot off and score in the NBA too. He's strong. He can get to the basket. He can shoot. He just will be a liability on defense. So, I don't know, man. Hopefully he'll make it. But I know for the most part, when you you draft in the second round, you got to make the squad for the most part. And money's normally not guaranteed, at least not the big money. They also drafted the kid out of a small – I remember seeing a small kid play. I wonder why they drafted like two small guards. They drafted the kid out of LSU, Tremont Waters, point guard, 5'11". He was pretty good. He's like a floor general type. So they drafted him, too, at 51. And the Celtics were given a B as a grade, you know, for their draft. And they had a pretty decent draft. It's just going to be fun watching Summer League to see how these guys do, see how they pan out. And the Nets, the New Jersey Nets drafted a Nicholas Claxton, 7 foot sophomore out of Georgia. I really don't know much about him. I saw him, you know, when I was watching the draft. Big kid, tall kid. Seemed like, you know, he's a good shot blocker and defender. I really didn't see much offensively. And then at 56, they drafted Jalen Hands. They drafted Jalen Hands because it was acquired from the Clippers. The Clippers actually drafted Jalen Hands and they traded the pick to the Nets. So he could be like a backup point guard, backup either Kyrie if he there, or backup D'Angelo Russell if he stay. He's okay. Wasn't that great of a player at UCLA like, you know, everybody thought he was going to be. Like, he was one of the best players coming out of high school 2 years ago. And I really didn't see much his freshman year. And this year, I really didn't see much either. I thought he probably would have stayed. I didn't think he would come out. But he did. And the Nets drafted him at 56. So we have to see. You know, that's one of those spots where he's going to have to make the squad. He's going to have to ball out and make the squad. And we got the Hornets. Faggot Michael Jordan's team. I can't stand Michael Jordan. So, yeah. You know, you got a problem with me and Michael Jordan, call in. 1-347-843-4939. And I'll tell you why I don't like Michael Jordan. But anyway, his team, they may be losing Kemba. They may not be losing Kemba. They saying that Kemba wants to stay, and he's offering, basically giving Jordan a discount, saying that Jordan don't have to pay him the max, which I don't understand. How the hell you don't want to take the max, man? To save, he's trying to save old faggot Mike some money. So they're saying he willing to stay there and not take the max. And I don't understand why he's willing to stay there and not go to a winner. I mean, he just been languishing away in Charlotte. I mean, the best they did was make the playoffs 2 years ago. They didn't make it this past season. So I don't know what Kemba thinking, man. There's also another rumor that Kemba may be thinking L.A. too. I've heard that. So, I mean, we'll see how it go. His talents are definitely being wasted. I totally agree with that. But the Hornets at number 12 took P.J. Washington, Kentucky sophomore. He's pretty good. He can rebound. He can score inside. He kind of plays big man ball a little bit, even though he's like a power forward. And I think he could give old Mr. Jordan, I think he could get him something. I mean, put it this way, he a hell of a lot better than sad Michael Kidd Gilchrist. I still don't understand why he was so big. I think Anthony Davis made him when they played at Kentucky together because he sucked. He came in the NBA and he sucked. He wasn't good to me at Kentucky. Michael Kidd Gilchrist, I mean, he'd get a couple rebounds here and there. He played defense a little bit, but he didn't score at all. And he hasn't been doing any of that in the NBA. So I think he's finally leaving. I think old Mike finally gonna cut him loose, and then PJ can slide right into his spot. They also took and I like this kid, number 36. They took Cody Martin out of Nevada. He won them twins, the Martin twins. They played in Nevada. They pretty good. And Cody, I like about him, man. He's 6'6". He could play point guard. He could play two. So he could play. He like a combo guard. He could do both. He could shoot. He's tough. He goes to the basket. He could pass. He has a handle. I like Cody Martin. I think that's a good pickup for them. And I think he'll stick, even though he's an early second round pick. I think he'll stick. I think he will stick with him. And then at 52, they picked the Jalen McDaniels. I have no idea who he is, but he played at San Diego State. The school of this guy, the former school of this guy. I had to get it in there, man. I mean, I'm going to keep this Kawhi laugh. I mean, I just got to. And then, hey, he won the championship, man, so why not? Why not do his life, you know? He earned the championship this year, man, and Golden State made him earn it. But Jalen McDaniels went to San Diego State, and that's the school that Kawhi Leonard came from. And the Hornets took him at 52. Excuse me, y'all. Like I said, I'm fighting the sickness right now, so my throat is kind of itchy and my voice is kind of warped, and it's just not good right now. But, hey, like I said, I felt like getting on here and talking about this draft. I wish some more people would call. What's going on, man? Call in and talk about this draft. 1-347-843-4939. Tell me what you think, man. Who won this draft in your opinion? Which rookie will be the steal of the draft? I'm going to tell y'all who I think going to be the steal of the draft after I come back from my break. And I'm going to take a quick break, man, try to clear my throat out. And then when I come back, we're going to talk about who I think going to be the steal of this draft. And it's crazy because he dropped. He's supposed to be a lottery pick, and he dropped way down. All right, now, I'm a regioner. I'm a Northwest Indiana guy, so this was kind of our hometown team. It wasn't my hometown team because I was a Detroit Bad Boy. That was my squad, the Detroit Bad Boys. But my hometown team was the Chicago Bulls. They drafted Coby White out of North Carolina, point guard, 6'5". I think that's going to be a good pickup. That's a sign that Chris Dunn's probably on his way out the door. At two guard, you got Zach LaVine if he stay. That should be a pretty decent backcourt. Coby White, I mean, he has a decent handle. He can see. He has good court vision. He can pass the ball. He can shoot it a little bit. He can go to the basket. Only thing about Coby White, man, is that wild hair, man. I'm curious to see what he's going to do. Is he going to just have it flowing everywhere like he did in college? You going to ponytail it up? You going to braid it up? What are you going to do? I doubt he cut it, though. But he's a good baller, man. He can play. And he was taken number 7 by the Bulls, and I think that was a good pickup. At 38, they took Daniel Gafford, Arkansas sophomore center. I don't know much about him, but it's saying that he's capable of throwing down lobs and, you know, taking up space and blocking shots. And, you know, they're basically making it seem like he's a good pickup. Coby White, you know, they're saying he's lightning quick. He's a speed demon, which is true, man. He will take it end to end if he can. And they graded the Bulls draft a B+. And I forgot to tell you, Charlotte's grade was a C. They gave Charlotte a C. The Bulls have a B. Now, this pick I really didn't understand at all. The Cleveland Cavaliers, why in the hell did they draft Darius Garland out of Vanderbilt, point guard, 6'2", 175? I looked at his highlights because he only played like 6 games in college at Vanderbilt. And those highlights look good, man. He's good. They comparing him to Damian Lillard. They saying he has the shot of Damian Lillard. And just looking at his highlights, man, he looked good. But why the hell did they take him at the point guard spot and they just drafted Colin Sexton last year as a lottery point guard? So I really don't understand why they did that. It really didn't make no sense. Why would you draft Darius Garland when you just drafted Colin Sexton last year, who averaged about 14 to 15 a game, gave you a good rookie season, and you drafted another point guard? I mean, unless they plan on having a small backcourt with a 6'1 point guard and a 6'2 two guard, I don't understand that pick by Cleveland. But then I like this other pick because this is a kid that's from here in Indianapolis. He went to Perry Meridian High School. At number 26, they took Dylan Windler out of Belmont. 6'8", 196. He can shoot. He's athletic. He can go to the basket. And he's a good free throw shooter, good three-point shooter. He's an overall good player, man. And he played at Perry Meridian High School here in Indianapolis. And he got drafted number 26. So congratulations to Dylan Wender, man. Congratulations on making it to the pros and being a first-round draft pick. And that's some good stuff right there, man. And then they took Kevin Porter Jr. out of USC. And he's another athletic guy. He could dunk it. He's a driver slasher, tenacious defender. So they took him at the 30th pick. So they got three first-rounders in Cleveland. And I just want to see what they're going to do about Chris Garland and Colin Sexton, because it really doesn't make any sense to have two point guards. And you just draft one in the lottery last year in Colin Sexton, and then you turn around and draft Darius Garland at number 5 this year. That really didn't make no sense. And honestly, it's like since LeBron left, man, Cleveland has just been all off the wall, man. I don't understand it. Questions and answers, baby. What's going on? Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Nas. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Nas? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I just wanted to hit on a couple of things real quick since you talking about the draft.
Go ahead,
cool.
Man. Yeah, that's cool, man. Go ahead, man.
Right. Now, the Cleveland thing, I'm with you normally as far as, you know, drafting another point guard. But I think it was a situation where a guy fell to him and they felt like, okay, if his talent is this, even if we got to play two small guys together, it's worth it just because of his talent and what we think about him as far as our draft board. So I can understand that. I think dude is doing an okay job out there in Cleveland as far as the rebuild. They just got to figure out how to, you know, move Kevin Love, and then from then on, you know, do the real work that need to be done, because you got to tear that whole thing down. So that's in process.
Yeah, they do. I agree with you, man.
They hustled their fans last year by acting like they was going to try to compete by bringing Love back, where reality was they, you know, they're sorry as hell and they need to rebuild. But the Hawks, though, man, that was the talk of the draft. They traded up, got the guy that they wanted, and then, you know, surprisingly, they were still able to get the kid from Carolina as well. So that rebuild is on schedule. Everything is right. You got young pieces, got a few veterans. You ain't going to compete next year, but you right in line to be where you need to be. And that's another thing, too. Like, in the draft, we start talking about potential so much, and then picks. Picks are like scratch-off tickets. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's cool to accumulate a whole bunch of picks, but sometimes you end up like Danny Ainge, where you just stacked a whole bunch of picks and didn't do nothing with them. Didn't end up as good as you thought they were going to be, and now you can't even move them because they worth less than what they were, you know, when people thought that the other teams that you, those picks you had might be bad. Sacramento messed that up for them, a few other teams, so. Right now, everybody's on New Orleans. So they got a bunch of picks, but until you do something with those picks, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So what you think? You think Cam Reddish going to fit well with the Hawks? You think him and Trae Young, man, going to be like that dual shooting threat?
Oh, yeah. He should develop nicely out here. Cause
me too. I like Cam Reddish.
He ain't no superstar. But he looks like he's going to be a solid NBA player and could be an all-star if he ever, you know, if he turns out. So,
and see, the thing, I got to admit.
Oh, go ahead.
I got to admit, when Cam Reddish was at Duke, I didn't see much, like, the first part of the season. And I'm like, why is everybody making a big deal out of this kid? How is this kid a top five player coming out of high school? Because I really didn't see it. All you saw was Zion and RJ, and then Cam hit a couple threes here and there, and I would never see him go to the basket or nothing. And see, I'm the type, man, I like a guy who has multiple facets to his game. I don't like a guy that could just shoot or just go to the basket and don't do nothing else. You know, you got to be able to do multiple things for me to like your game. And it's like Cam Reddish, all I saw was shoot, shoot, shoot. And then towards the end of the year, like especially when Zion went out and Cam started picking up the slack with RJ Barrett, that's when I was able to start appreciating this game more. So I agree with you. I think Cam's going to be a good pickup for the Hawks to go along with Trae Young and John Collins. And then I like that they did go up and get who they wanted in DeAndre Hunter, because with DeAndre Hunter going to Virginia, we know he's going to come into the league being able to play defense. And then, you know what I'm saying, he'll be able to – he could score. He got a nice three-point shot. You know he's going to hustle. And he's a decent free throw shooter. So the Hawks did make up, but I just like – I guess my favorite is the Pelicans as far as, like, who won the draft. Because of Zion, because they got the big kid out of Texas, Jackson Hayes, and then they got the other kid with the funky name, Walker. Man, what's his name? Nickeil Alexander Walker. You know, he's kind of like his cousin – Shai Gilgeous and the Clippers, they kind of same type of player, and I think he'd be able to be a combo guard and back up Jrue Holiday and back up Lonzo Ball, so that'll help them too. And then, you know what I mean, the Pelicans made off with the Hawks 2020 first round draft pick, and like you said, I don't think the Hawks gonna be able to push for a playoff spot next year, so that's gonna be a good pick for the Pelicans next year.
Yeah, well, it's Cleveland's pick. So it's a pick we got from Cleveland, and I think it's protected too. So it may be something and it may be nothing. But, New Orleans knows what they're doing. They're doing a full rebuild so they don't end up in this situation with Zion that they did with Anthony. Like, we're going to get everything right around this dude so when it's time to re-sign, he ain't going to have no problem wanting to re-sign. But, I like what you just said about those later picks they got because, look, they about to do a lot of losing. You know what I'm saying? And you need to get real young and let these dudes grow and develop together. And who's to say all of those Laker guys stay? They may end up trading a few of those Laker guys when it comes down to it.
I think they're going to keep Ball. They said that Alvin Gentry really likes Ball. So I definitely think Ball's staying there for sure, because I think the pressure of Ball being in L.A., I think that hurt his game. His daddy always being up behind him hurt his game. And now that his daddy's going to be in Australia with LaMelo, because LaMelo signed to play in Australia. So his daddy going to be over there most of the time now, so he can have a fresh, clean start in New Orleans. Don't worry about daddy. You know what I mean? Don't have that pressure being the L.A. kid that has to lead the Lakers back to prominence. I think Lonzo's going to ball out, man. And I like Lonzo when he's at UCLA. And I'm hoping he can get back to that. And having Zion there to throw them lobs to and all that stuff, that's going to make them exciting. They're not going to win, but I think they'll start off good, and then I think towards the end of next season they're going to tail off and, you know, fall out of the race for that the eighth spot. Because I don't think they help the challenge
they don't
in the West
win
for
yet.
Eighth spot.
Right. They don't want to win yet. You know, you just want to get guys minutes and let them develop. And I'm with you. Lonzo's going to push the pace. Zion playing up and down basketball is good for him because that shows all of his skills. And Lonzo, he gets a bad rap, man. He got hurt last year, but when he was healthy, he was playing pretty well. And I don't think the Lakers wanted to give him up. It's just Anthony Davis is that damn good where they had to give up everything to get him. But I don't think they wanted to give him up, man.
You don't?
Mm-mm. I think they liked him too, just for the same reasons you just said, man. I think they liked him. But, you know, when it's AD, man,
I don't
know what you got to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, see, the person I know that they really didn't want to give up was Kyle Kuzma. I always thought Ball was expendable to them, but they just wasn't going to give up Kyle Kuzma. And I agree with that. I would have did everything in my power to keep Kyle Kuzma because Kyle Kuzma, could, you know, he was giving them buckets his rookie year, last year, and I think he's going to give them buckets now with LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, because he's going to play that stretch four next to Anthony, and that's what they want a lot. And then sometimes they're going to, you know, be interchangeable. If it's a small center, they'll be able to be interchangeable. But I think that's the main reason why they was trying to hold on to Kuzma the most. not because he was the best prospect, it's because of the position he played, where now him and Anthony, man, that's a problem right there, bro.
I know. Now, how do you think that the Lakers, what do you think they're going to put around Anthony Davis, Kuzma, and Bron? I'm thinking that they should re-sign Rondo, have him run the point, and I'm thinking they should re-sign JaVale McGee at the center.
Yeah, if they're smart, they make moves like that. You bring back Rondo, JaVale, you get guys like J.J. Redick and guys like that.
Yes.
And you build out the roster. You get some depth. If they're stupid, they go after another max guy, and then they have to get, like, you know, suspect dudes on the bench, and that can lead to them not being able to pull off a chip. That white kid is pretty good too, man. Alex Caruso.
Yeah. He shocked me.
People know.
He shocked me. I didn't even know he had it in him when I saw him dunk on that one guy, man. I didn't even know he had that in him, man.
Right. So, yeah, we're going to see, man, because they could easily mess this up by giving the money to one person and then having to fill it out with D-League guys and stuff. But you know, what you just said, that's the blueprint. If they build depth and have Anthony, Bron, and Kuzma, that's it right there, bro.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And J.J. Redick would be the perfect fit for them, man, to be a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He would be the perfect fit. And I had a feeling, man, that they were going to try to go after Klay Thompson because, you know, his dad won chip there. But, you know, with Klay going down, man, I think that benefits the Warriors. I think he's going to stay. I think they're going to max him out, and Klay's going to stay with the Warriors.
Yeah. The only problem with that is, man, and people haven't thought about this yet, but the Warriors may never be the same because, man, when you play – from June to June, year after year after year, it wears on your body. You start
you
to break
down.
Yeah, and sometimes people don't really recover from that. So that's something that people are not really thinking about. And you talk about next year with Durant and Klay and everybody out.
You still there, Nas? Ah, damn, I think I lost Nas. I don't know what happened. He dropped. Nas, call back if you can, man. I don't know what happened. But I'm going to take a break now, and then when I come back, I'm going to tell you guys who I believe was the steal of the draft. I'm going to let you guys listen to a little bit of this guy right here, and I was tripping out. Cole Beasley. You believe Cole Beasley from the Dallas Cowboys actually spit bars? Well, he's not with the Cowboys anymore. He's with the Buffalo Bills now, but he actually spits bars. I see you, Nas. I'm going to get back to you, man, when I'm gonna take a quick break, man. I got to blow my nose, man, because like I told you guys, I'm kind of doing it sick right now, man. So I'm going to be back with you in a minute, Nas. So just hang on, man. Listen to a little Cole Beasley. I mean, did you know that Cole Beasley was a rapper? He is, actually.
It's summer early in the morning, Pop saying he needs me, but I'm being lazy, I say that I'm sleepy, can I please skip today, they taking it easy, while I'm grinding every day, they won't notice, believe me. He told me no, see, that's what they want you to think, you gotta see that you are a reflection of me, can't you see it now, Coach Beasley, how cold, get to skip, but we can't miss it, has to even out, you can't treat us different. So that's just how he treated me. But now I see the difference made me who I spring to be. Well, all the ones I tried to bring with me to lead, just pissed the fact I leave the team at home regretting what they need to be. I'm thankful I got fam who made me this. I'm glad they actually gave a shit. That's why I never fail, cause they would never fail me. Then I thank them with some land, a brand new place
There's
to live.
There's never one way to ever do one thing, and I don't.
All right, that was Cole Beasley, Buffalo Bills slot receiver. I say I lost you again, Nas. Call back if you can, man. I'm going to tell you guys who I believe was the steal of the NBA draft, and I don't believe he dropped so low. But the steal of the 2019 NBA draft to me was Bol Bol, son of Manute Bol of the University of University of Oregon. He averaged 21 points, 9 boards, 3 blocks, and he only played in 3 games because he hurt his foot. And once he hurt his foot, man, he decided to shut it down, you know, for the NBA draft. He won't take any more risk or any more chances. And I know, you know, in high school, he used to ball. He played alongside Sharif O'Neal, Shaquille O'Neal's son. They both were like twin towers. They both played for the same high school. Sharif got a scholarship with Arizona, and then he later forfeited that, and he went to accept a scholarship to play at UCLA. But we know Sharif, he missed last season because he had to have heart surgery. He almost died. It's crazy. And now they're saying he's been working out, and he's trying to play at UCLA this year. So we wish you the best, Sharif, and hope you a speedy recovery, man, so we can watch you play. I remember me and my wife was talking about how all these NBA players, you know, we've watched and grown up watching and stuff, how their sons are now playing, and we're going to be seeing them playing in the league soon. Like, you know, little Bronny James, you know, all these videos and stuff out about him, how he can play. He can play. Then you got little Zaire Wade looking just like his daddy, Dwayne Wade, especially when Dwayne was at Marquette. He looked just like him. He's out there balling, lefty, athletic, got a nice little left-hand stroke, go to the basket, you know, has a little pizzazz to his game, flashy passer, you know, kind of flamboyant on the court. You know, then you got little white chocolate, Jackson Williams, Jason Williams' son. I think his name Jackson Williams. He's pretty good. So you got all these ballers and their sons. Scottie Pippen Jr., he got a scholarship. He's going to be playing at Vanderbilt next year. You know, so it's going to be fun watching all these basketball stars we grew up watching, you know, seeing their sons, you know, as a part of the next generation of the NBA. That's going to be kind of fun. And I do believe LeBron's sticking around and waiting for Bron to get to the league so they could say that father-son combination played in the NBA. I mean, they don't have to be on the same team, but just the simple fact that the son is playing in the league with his dad. His dad is still playing. And I believe LeBron waiting around for that, man. That's about 4 more years. Because I'm pretty sure Bronny would go, what? Bronny's in 8th grade now, so 5. The way LeBron keeping shit, man, I think he could do it for 5 years. Bron might be about 40 when Bronny get in the league, and then he'll quit. I believe he waiting around for that. And I think that's going to happen, man. I think LeBron, he's waiting, you know, for his son, and then he going to retire, man. Once his son can get in the league, then he'll hang it up. I mean, that'd be crazy. You know, you be in the same league with your dad. So I could see something like that happening. But, yeah, Bol Bol, man. I mean, the dude dropped. He's supposed to be a lottery pick. He went from the lottery all the way down to the 44th selection by the Denver Nuggets. And I think that's a steal. Because if Bol Bol, you know, look at his highlights, man. Go look at some Bol Bol on YouTube. The dude can shoot threes. He's 7'2", 7'3". You know, he can handle the ball a little bit for his size. He can shoot. He's skinny as hell, though. That's the thing. He like his dad, man. He's real thin. So you might be able to, you know, he might get muscled around a little bit. But he could block shots. You know, he'd go over most of the top of people. And like I said, he can shoot. He got nice little 15, 18-foot jump shot. And sometimes he could take it out to the three-point line and shoot. So I think that he'd be a good fit. I think he's going to be a good fit for the Nuggets. You know, to go along with Jusuf Nurkić, who's an MVP candidate every year he play. You got Jamal Murray at the point guard. You got Gary Harris at the 2. You got Paul Millsap at the 4. I mean, this pick of Bol Bol can make them even more formidable than last year when they finished the game away from the Western Conference Finals. I mean, it took Portland beating them in Game 7 in Denver to put them out. And Portland ended up going to the West Finals and getting dog-walked by the Warriors. So I think Bol Bol is going to be a good mesh for the Nuggets, and I think Bobo can have a decent, you know, have a good year, man, and provide a good contribution to this team. And I think he'd be up for Rookie of the Year. I could see him getting minutes because, I mean, Paul Millsap's there, but who knows? I don't know how much time he has left on his contract. So who knows? Maybe Bobo could show out in some league, show out in training camp, and get those six-man type minutes, if not starting spot. I would say six-man type minutes. Maybe he get the six-man type minutes. And then, you know, provide a positive contribution to this team, man, and be up for, you know, Rookie of the Year. Challenge for Rookie of the Year with Zion, because more than likely Zion is probably going to get it, because Zion is going to get the starters' minutes, and Zion is going to be in the game in crucial moments for sure. So Zion, Ja Morant, RJ Barrett, those guys are odds-on favorites for the Rookie of the Year next year. I'm going to add Bobo to that mix because of the multiple things he should be able to do with this Denver Nugget team. But to me, he would be the steal of the draft, in my opinion. Him dropping from supposed to be lottery pick all the way to the 44 pick, and they saying he dropped because they didn't know how good his motor is. They didn't know if, you know, he gives it all on the floor. They basically make it seem like he's lazy. I haven't watched enough of his games to be able to tell if he was lazy. I mean, those couple Oregon games I watched, you know, back on ESPN early November last year, he didn't seem like he was lazy to me. He was out there blocking shots and playing with energy and all that. But they saying that his motor might not be, you know, as full as they would want it to be. And that's the reason. That's one of the reasons why he dropped so low. That's crazy, though, to drop from lottery all the way to 44, but he did. Guys, if you want to talk about any of this stuff, you want, you know, who you think won the draft in your opinion? What team, what NBA team won the 2019 NBA draft in your opinion? Which rookie would be the steal of the draft? I just told you mine. I think Bobo is going to be the steal of the draft. Who do you think is going to be the steal of the draft? Next thing I want to talk about is this rap beef that's going on, this NBA rap beef between my main man, Damian Dame Dollar Lillard, and Marvin MB35 Bagley III. Man, hey, it all started on First Take. My wife and I watched First Take the other day. Marvin Bagley III was on there. He's talking to Max Kellerman and Stephen A. and Molly Kierum Rose. And next thing you know, Max Kellerman told Stephen A. Smith how Marvin Bagley had bars, and, you know, next thing you know, after that, Max Kellerman brought up Damian Lillard, how Damian Lillard was probably the best rapper in the NBA, you know, best athlete rapper, and he asked Marvin Bagley, you know, would he challenge him and all that, and Marvin Bagley, like, whatever. It don't matter where, when, and that's all it took, man. And once he did that, he unleashed my man Dame Dollar. But I do got to give the young man, Marvin Bagley, second-year player out of Sacramento, I got to give him some props, man, because he stepped to the plate. He wasn't no punk about it, and I actually like his style, man. I like this young dude. See, I don't like these new – I don't like how the rap game is now with these mumble rappers, and you understand what the hell people saying now, and – but Marvin Bagley actually spit. You understand what he's saying. You hear his words. And, man, dude, he brought some fire back at my boy Dame Dollar, man. Everybody's saying Dame Dollar won. And I think he did win, but, hey, man, that youngster is right on his heels, man. So I'm going to start off, man, by letting y'all hear a little bit of Dame's diss first. And then I'm going to let you hear Bagley's. So here go Dame Dollar. Check it out.
This boy didn't call my name. Amateur bars, man. Grown man bars is something you gotta deal with. So all that elaborated, fabricated, ain't gonna equal up to this real shit. The things we do for the glitz and the glamorous. Follow back your like pics from your camera. But about to pass, cause you still in a pamper, bruh.
And I never seen Floyd spar with amateurs. So this the one and only time I'm picking up the phone. I'm the type to keep receipts and to be left alone. I was raised to always keep the family feuds at home. On the set, I'm about to teach you how to set the tone. Where I'm from, big bank, take little bank. I'm a couple hundred mil, it's a field day. Don't respect it, it's not an issue to check it. Never really competed, but you boys getting reckless, I can tell this wasn't really what you wanted, though. Should've DM'd me again, what you wanna know? Say I'm lying, I put it out for the public. Asking about my third album before the second was published. You a fan, put respect on my name and get disrespected. You and Sack, I'm from Oakland, a minute from getting hectic. Praying with an E and you gon' get your blessing. Your mouth to wrote a check that overdrew your checking. Look, I'm really solid like I say, so why you come for me? I got respect in both careers moving comfortably. You ain't established in the lead for one. You got potential, but this rapping is a breeze at lunch. It's easy, you a clown, so go and enjoy the circus. Knee deep in the game and you barely scratching the surface. My car dressed in black, we're never making a purchase. High king come to battle, knowing the kingdom worthless, nigga. Stop playing with me, man. You boys is babies.
And that's that Dame Dolla, man. He spit that fire, man. He spit that fire, old Marvin Bagley III. Alias MB35, man, and that's why I like Dame Dolla, man. He's a excellent point guard, excellent baller, underrated. If he's in the East, he would be a perennial All Star if he played in the Eastern Conference. But you know, with him playing in the West with the likes of Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, you know, those type of guys, he'd never really get his due, even though he gave it to Westbrook in the playoffs this past year. Gave it to him. Westbrook talking all that smack. Dame didn't say a word, man. Just busting him up. And that's how you do it, man. But yeah, so that's Dame Dolla Lillard. And that's the name of that song is Marvin. Marvin. That's how it is on the cover. And so he coming at Marvin Bagley. But like I said, hey, this youngster, man, Marvin Bagley. Hey, his diss track is nice too, man. He came at Dame, man. Now, I'm going to let y'all check him out too, man. Guys, if you want to call in on any of this, if you want to call in and recap this NBA draft, who you think won the draft in your opinion? Which rookie will be the steal of the NBA draft this season? Who going to be the steal? What you think? What about this rap battle I'm going through right now? I just played Dame Dolla Lillard for you. I'm about to get ready to play Marvin MB35 Bagley III for you. And then, you know, like I always say, you're welcome to call about topics you may have. You might want to talk about football. That's fine. Bring it out here. Throw it on the table and we can discuss it. It doesn't just have to be the topics I'm discussing. If you got a topic for me, you know what I mean? If you want to talk about something else, we can do that. You want to talk about movies, we can do that. I just saw Godzilla last week on Father's Day. It's a pretty decent movie. I could talk to you about that. I still want to see Ma. I haven't made it to the theater to see that yet. But TV series, I just finished up Jessica Jones, season 3, the last season. I just finished watching that. You want to talk about that? I mean, I'm versatile. Whatever you want to talk about. Hell, I even talk about Trump. If any of the Trump fans out there, the people who love Trump, call in, explain to me why Donald Trump is your hero, why you think Donald Trump is like such a great president. Call in and let's talk about it. I want to know why. So if I got Trump supporters that's listening to this, call in. Put it out on the table. Why you love Trump so much? Why do you think he's the best man for our country? Even though this damn fool almost got us in the damn war the other day. Explain to me why he's so great. Trump supporters, 1-347-843-4939. I would love for you to call in. This would be a great show if you called in. I would love to talk to Trump supporters because I want to know why. I want to pick your brain. I want you to school me, educate me on why I should vote for Trump, why I should like Trump. Why should I understand Trump? I want you to tell me why. And I've been calling out these Trump people, you know, who've been leaving stuff on my Facebook page and all that. I've been calling them out like, hey, call my show. And they will not call. I'm like, you scared? Put it on wax. Put it on the radio. Call. Call in. Explain why Trump is so great. Why is he the greatest commander in chief we've ever had? Explain. I want to know. But I've invited them to come on this platform, and they just won't do it, man. They don't have the guts. I want them to. I want them to convince me and convince you guys why we should like Trump, why we should vote for him, why we should be on his side, all that. I want to know. And see, I done went off topic, man. But like I said, I have a versatile type of, I'm versatile, man. It doesn't just have to be. I'm sorry, I'm sick, man. I didn't come out. It doesn't just have to be about the topics I'm throwing out. If you got stuff you want to talk about, you can call in and we can discuss it. But nah, man, let me go ahead and play this Marvin Bagley III diss on my boy Dame. This young man, he came with it, man. He came with some heat. And I'm wondering, is it going to be another diss track? I'm wondering, are these young cats going to have this rap beef the whole off season? Are we going to get some more diss tracks? We already got two diss tracks from both of them apiece. Who going to do the next one? But this is the last one Bagley did. And, man, he came with it, man. Check out this beat, too. This beat is sweet.
Are you dropped two tracks? Hey. Somebody done gassed him up. Let me go ahead and burp this little nigga. Look, I've been a cold-blooded assassin. Swear I don't just put the ball in the basket. I'm from the zone, nigga, who you been asking? I said your name a couple weeks ago, you been in the casket. And now you tryna rise up, I see you faking the passion. I'm finna turn this game down to the chump change. I'm that main or that man or that mean. Whatever you want, nigga, I'm that clean. You dropped two songs, whatever that mean. You shoulda did one of them niggas was gassing. And I ain't rocking with them folks that thought it was over. I'm finna sign with State Farm, I'll put you out of your stroller. I run the game like PlayStation, going and pass the control. I'm on the track with high energy, you lacking the motor, little nigga. Clown. Nah, none of that. Put some respect on my shit. Now I might ruffle up some feathers, but I'm just telling the truth. Without that Wayne verse, you just another nigga in the booth. Said it's just rap, but when I'm done, don't try to call the truth. Try and run it up, and double up this money to the roof. Money man, I know you rich, 100 mil, that big bank and little bank stuff don't work. I understand what you was doing, you been on my nuts since Duke. And I'm a fan, that don't make sense, I think you need to find a better plan. I used to do your little 4-bar challenge every Friday, but you ain't drop no hits, so man, I had to do it my way. My name is Dame Dollar and I'm hard. I claim that I'm better than MB3, but no, I'm not. That's clown flow. I come and snatch your bag of dimes, don't make a sound, bro. You try to bring my pops into it, let's get down, no. You really try to put me all on the spot. Man, you been quiet for some time, I think I'm making you hot. Adidas did sit some games, but I thought they was whack. As soon as I opened the box, I sent them shits right back. I had to hop over the Puma, now my pockets is fat. Man, I was working, and y'all know I was gonna get right back. I'm done.
All right, that was the youngster, Marvin Bagley III, man. I mean, he came with some fire back at Dame. I mean, hey, you know, I'm kind of biased, but I'm going to proclaim Dame Dollar Lillard the winner, but barely, man. You know, unless it's not over yet, maybe I might be proclaiming the winner too soon. These cats might bring out more diss tracks. I don't know. Haven't heard anything here lately, but who knows? Maybe Damian will come right back at him again, or maybe they just both will leave it alone and leave it at this. But it's always good that, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a little rap beef, you know, seeing who the best is. You know, just keep it on wax, man. You keep it on wax, you'll be fine.
Questions and answers, baby.
Yeah, I was listening to your show, and I want to know which one of you's got the biggest black cock.
Oh Oh my God, I can't answer that one for you, man. That's crazy. Oh man, why somebody call my show with some gay shit? What? Oh my God, come on, man. Come on, man. That's nasty, man. You know, save stuff like that for the ladies, man. You know, call a ladies show with all that, man. Oh my God. Damn. I guess, man. I guess. Well, hey. Like I said, guys, I got like 13 minutes left, man. If you want to call in, talk about who won the NBA draft, which rookie you think will be the steal of the draft, the rap battle between Damian Dame Dollar Lillard and Marvin MB35 Bagley III. And, you know, like I said, you're welcome to call in about any topic related to sports or entertainment, not big black cocks. Oh, my God. That was just some gay shit. Oh, my. Oh, come on, man. No. Whatever, man. That's just crazy. But, you know, like I said, Pelicans won the draft, in my opinion. Zion Williamson, the Hayes kid, he's pretty good. And the Walker kid, they should have something being built, you know, real good in New Orleans. Questions and answers, baby.
I was going to say, you can slide it in my asshole any day.
Man, why is this dude calling? Oh, my God. Okay, I got to remember that damn number, man. This is just sick, man. Hey, you know what? Hey, I did call for the Trump supporters. Maybe he's a Trump supporter. I did say Trump supporters called me. I don't know, man. Trump supporters might be kind of nasty and freaky like that, man, because he sure is. So, hey, maybe you're a Trump supporter, man. Hey, I guess I called for you, man. You Trump supporter, I called for you, man. Hey, but if you're going to call in, man, we got to talk about Trump, man. We can't talk about no stuff what you talking about, man. We could talk about Trump, but not all that, man. So, yeah, I guess I blame myself for that one, man. I called a Trump supporter, and he calling in with some gay shit, man. So, I can't talk to you, Trump supporter, man. You talking gay, man. I can't do that. There's a Trump supporter calling me. Any Trump supporter want to call me and talk about Trump? Not no gay shit. Man. Bobo. I project he's going to be in the Rookie of the Year race along with Zion, along with Ja Morant, and along with RJ Barrett. And those three are going to be in the Rookie of the Year race because they're going to come in as day one starters. They're going to get the minutes, and which means, you know, if they're good, they're going to get the production. And I think all three of them are going to be able to play at the NBA level. RJ Barrett, he could do both. He could score. I don't really know if he's that great of a defender, but he can score. So that's going to help. They put him at the three. He could play the three. I think he'd be able to score because he'd be on the wing. He can shoot. He can make his free throws. He can handle the ball a little bit. So I definitely think that, you know, RJ Barrett will be able to ball. Zion, I'm going to predict that he's going to come in averaging at least 20 a game. He might do like LeBron, because LeBron rookie year, he came in averaging 20 a game. I can see Zion doing the same thing, about 20 a game, maybe about between 6 and 8 rebounds. I think he, you know, he's athletic and versatile enough to be able to get in there and get in the paint and grab boards and things like that. And he's a big man that can pass the ball. So I could see him maybe putting up like 4 assists a game, you know. And the key to them is going to be Lonzo Ball. If Lonzo could be Lonzo at UCLA, the Pelicans are going to be fun to watch. And like my man Nas was saying, they might not be done yet. They still might be, you know, have some trades to be made, because my understanding is Alvin Gentry, he kind of wants a veteran to be in there with the youngsters too. So it still may be some trades to be made. Who knows? Maybe they might send Brandon Ingram somewhere. Because the only player I know that they wanted for sure, they said Alvin Gentry really wanted Lonzo Ball. So we don't know if he really want Brandon Ingram. I like Josh Hart. I would keep Josh Hart. I think the Lakers should have did everything they could to keep Josh Hart too, because he's a good player off the bench. And I think that the Lakers are going to miss him. But the word is, you know, the thing is going to be how the Lakers going to build around Bron, Kuzma, and AD. What they going to build around them? Like I said, in my opinion, I think they need to re-sign Rondo, because he brings in them that toughness and that championship experience at that point guard spot. We know Rondo, tough as nails. He'll play defense. You know, he can go to the basket. We know he's a hell of a passer. He might get you. And with a lineup with AD, Kyle Kuzma, and Bron, shit, Rondo might average about 11 or 12 assists a game. So I would definitely bring Rondo back. And at the center, when JaVale McGee wasn't hurt with the Lakers, he balled. We know he'll block shots. We know he'll get those putbacks. We know he'll get those alley-oops. We know JaVale McGee, you know, he'll get those type of things. He's always been one of the best shot blockers in the league. I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm sick, so I really can't talk all that great right now. You know, I'm fighting this cold. But they definitely need to re-sign JaVale McGee. So, I mean, that to me, that could be their starting lineup right there. Now, they bench. What are they going to do about their bench? I mean, they got the kid from Michigan who I liked, Mo Wagner. I think if he gets minutes, he could give them something. So they have him on the bench. Then I think they need to go after J.J. Redick. I think J.J. Redick could be a perfect fit for them. Somebody that can shoot. You know, LeBron, he has to have his shooters, man. LeBron has to have a shooter around him. And I think J.J. Redick can provide that, man. He could definitely provide the shooting for him. So you bring in J.J. Redick. I saw something about maybe trying to get Patrick Beverley from the Clippers. If I was the Clippers, I wouldn't let him go. I'll keep Patrick Beverley. I'll re-sign him because he's a bulldog. You want to have, you know, those dogs on defense. But if you put Patrick Beverley on the Lakers, you know, him, a J.J. Redick, those two coming off the bench, you know, they would need some size, too, to get on their bench. So who would they get? You know, maybe somebody in free agency, a center in free agency. So I'm curious to see how the Lakers are going to do, how they're going to rebuild this team and, you know, try to get them to get to that championship level where they can beat a Toronto, especially if Kawhi stays in Toronto. They're going to be the favorite again if they stay. At least the favorite in the East they'll be. Milwaukee, I don't know. It seemed like the Greek Freak, I love the Greek Freak. I love his game. He be balling. But sometimes he likes to take it 1-on-4, and I don't understand that. He was doing that a lot in that series against Toronto, and they were just balling him up. So if Kawhi was to stay in Toronto, man, I got them as the favorites to come out the East again. I mean, I'll put the Bucks number 2. I'll put the Sixers number 3, and it's depending on Jimmy Butler. He might leave. You know, they saying something about Jimmy Butler going to Houston. I don't know how that'll work with him, Chris Paul, and James Harden, but they saying that Jimmy Butler may go to Houston. And so will the Sixers be able to keep Tobias Harris then? Because if they lose Tobias Harris and Butler, I don't see Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons being able to do it themselves. And then Joel Embiid, I love him, but we don't know how many games he's going to give them. He always hurt. So I don't know, man. We don't know about the Sixers. So, but as of right now, I had to put the Sixers as the third best team in the East. Celtics, I don't know how they're going to be, because they're going to lose Al Horford and Kyrie Irving. But in my opinion, they proved that they could play without Kyrie Irving. But they still had Al Horford. So with Horford leaving, I don't know what they're going to do. You know, they saying the center, Baines, he's up for free agency. He may leave. Like I said, Kyrie's leaving. Terry Rozier's a free agent. If I was them, my priority would be re-signing Terry Rozier to have him start at point guard. Because when Kyrie and Gordon Hayward were out, those guys were a game away from the NBA Finals last year to play Golden State. But they let LeBron come in there and wax them in Boston. And, you know, in game seven and go to the finals. And they did that without Kyrie. And that's what I'm saying. Kyrie, he's just proven he's not a leader. He's not a leader of men. He has to play with an alpha. He has to be number two. He can't be number one. And that's why I'm saying I think that if KD decides to stay in Golden State, Brooklyn might not sign Kyrie because they're putting it out there that they want him and Kevin Durant. They want the package deal. And I got a feeling if KD stay in Oakland, Brooklyn might not sign Kyrie, therefore kind of forcing him to maybe go to L.A. and play with LeBron again, you know, where he shouldn't have left LeBron in the first place. If he go back with him, he shouldn't have left him in the first place. But I definitely think he needs to play with an alpha dog because Kyrie's not an alpha dog. He can't be a leader, man. He's a number two guy. A superstar. He is a superstar. But he's not a number one superstar. He's a number two superstar, meaning he can't deliver the goods all by himself like he thought he could. Well, guys, I want to thank you all for calling in. I want to thank Nas. Hey, man. Hey, man, I'm glad you called me again, man. I remember you called me a few weeks ago. I want to thank you for calling me again. And, you know, just to put it out there, man, Thursdays and Saturdays, hopefully, you know, Thursday, I'll be done with this cold, man. I'll be back to normal. I won't be coughing and all that stuff. And I'll be able to, you know, talk the way I talk instead of sounding all muffled and stuff the way I'm sounding. But I want to thank you for calling, Nas. Gary, love you, bro. Thank you for calling, man. Thank you for supporting me. Like I said, Thursdays, Saturdays, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. Questions and answers. Call in and talk about the topics I present. But, you know, you have the option of calling in with topics you want to talk about related to sports and entertainment, movies, TV series, MMA, NHL, MLB, whatever. You know, reversible, and I could talk about any of this stuff. You know, now, like I always say, man, if you call me with some golf, man, I don't know, man. Yeah, you'll be schooling me. I'll be asking you the questions, and you'll be giving me the answers. You call with some golf or cricket, you know, crap like that. Soccer. You know my baby plays soccer. I don't know nothing about no soccer, man. So, hey, you ever call me with those three things, man, I'm going to be asking you the questions. You're going to be giving me the answers. But, yeah, once again, man, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. And I'll see you guys Thursday.